All righty.
Okay, cool.
I got the kids and my mom here, and they're in the other room. So hopefully we don't hear them screaming through the wall.
Good. That sounds good. Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with us today we have Matthews Pro Cara Kelly. Cara, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So, Cara, what we wanted to talk to you primarily about was you and Archer and some other folks this summer announced that you were going to start a series of seminars where people can go to learn some of the things that you pros do to judge distance. Judge on, you're calling it. And you have had two, I believe, seminars already?
Yes, sir. Yep.
So tell us how, well, actually, before we even get into how it's been going, you tell me, what was your motivation for this?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, there's both in the ASA, there's both unknown yardage and known yardage. And then with IBO and the game we play, it's all unknown for them as well. So, you know, we want to, of course, help grow our sport and keep people involved in playing the game of 3D archery, which is what, you know, originated 3D archery. And obviously it's where a lot of the professionals' passion lies. So we got the idea, you know, of course we want to continue to grow the women's classes as a whole. And there's been some changes in those classes this year. And with that being said, we really wanted to put together something that would bring men and women to these seminars to learn how they can up their game. And what we found is, you know, people are leaving with just awesome feedback, and it's exciting for us because, you know, Jack kind of came to me with the idea, Jack Wallace, and, you know, I was like, we got to do this. We have got to do this. And
Yeah. It's
really trying to give back to the sport, you know, and I've always said, and will continue to say, I just hope I can leave the sport better than I found it. And Judge On is a way of doing that. So hopefully in the future, based on the feedback that we've been receiving from these seminars, you see a little bit more from us outside of just judging. So it's exciting.
I'm sure you've heard, because I've heard in talking to archers at the tournaments, that there seems to be, you hear some people kind of shy away from the unknown because they're afraid of it. They're like, I can't judge distance.
Right.
But right. I'm sure there was a time when you couldn't judge distance either, but you figured it out.
Exactly. There was a time, I remember, that, you know, I had to up my game, and we've all been there, and you have to make that decision and that choice. And I remember having a small range, you know, only a few targets in my backyard or my parents, and having it tracked down to the dirt, you know, just in preparing and practicing and putting that time and effort into it. And, you know, we talk about in the course, you know, practicing with a purpose, and really we talk about a number of things, but one of the things is time management. And you can judge. It's a commitment. It's a different element of commitment. Even if you're shooting unknown archery or you're shooting known, if you're shooting known, there's a lot of elements that go into that too, outside of judging. You know, there's a lot of mental preparation. There's a lot of equipment double checks and cuts and things that you really have to pay attention to that takes just as much time, if not more. So, and I think people have started to realize that it's not as easy as everybody thought it was going to be to play the known game.
Right.
And some are jumping back over saying, hey, I'm shooting better scores unknown because of multiple factors. But one is I don't have necessarily the pressure of knowing I have to hit that 12 ring because you've given me the number. You know, and they've discovered that playing the game is a huge benefit. And when they've compared apples to oranges and their scores, they say, hey, I'm shooting better. So I think we're seeing some people having the tendency to jump back over to the unknown game. And I mean, I'm excited to see it, obviously, because I'm passionate about the unknown game. And there's a lot of people that are passionate about the known game. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I think some people are saying, hey, I'm better to play the game and take my chances and that risk reward than, you know, just aiming at them all day long with the number. So
Well, I was talking to Louis Holmes on a podcast just a couple weeks ago. He was one who went, you know, was unknown, went to the known, went back to unknown. And he had said that one of the things he said was that there was more strategy involved with unknown than he, you know, in known, basically you just try and find the 12 and hit it.
Right.
But he said there was way more strategy involved with the unknown that he hadn't realized, that he doesn't have to hit the 12 ring every time.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot, and we talk about that in the seminar as well, is really managing the course and coming up with your strategy of how you're going to play. And, you know, a lot of people didn't even realize that when you get to an ASA range, you can walk the range. You know, a lot of the amateurs in our classes were like, what? I can do that? Yes, you can do that. You know, we do that. That's how we come up with what are those money targets and how are we going to play our game that day. And it's much easier. And this is one of the things that Jack and I talk about in the seminar, is it's much easier to manage a range. If I told you, you know, go out and hit, my goal is to hit 6 12s in a 20 target range.
Okay.
Everybody tries to do that in the first 10 targets, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, like, you think, I've got to get those 12s right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Well, step back. And if you manage a course properly and you really take the time to walk that range before you get started, you're going to know those targets that are going to be the ones you want to hit, the targets you're going to be a little more aggressive with, and the targets that you really just want to manage and get through. And you're going to pick up those 6 12s, most likely, through a 20 target range. But if you try to put all that extra pressure on yourself to manage a course quickly and, you know, come out of the gates firing,
yeah,
sometimes you're chasing your tail at the end. So, you know, we talk about that. We talk about strategizing. We talk about course management. We talk about a lot of things.
Yeah. And it's Jack Wallace. That's the men's pro archer that you're working with. So what is the seminar? Is it 2 days or is it 1 day?
Great question. It's 1 day. And what we do is we go through like a basic classroom setting, and we also bring in some pros that are not necessarily able to grace us with their presence. And, you know, it's 2020, so who's not used to Zoom?
All right. Yep.
So we do bring in a couple archers, a couple professional archers throughout the seminar, just to give us their take on how they judge and what their process is. And it helps everybody relate to, because Jack and I have very different styles. We've done this a long time.
Yes.
But we both have very different styles, which is a huge benefit, I feel like, to the class and to the people that are hearing from us, just because we've gotten the feedback. We're kind of like yin and yang.
Perfect.
So it really does help allow people the opportunity to add more to their toolbox, so to speak, of what they're able to take from the class. And then we bring in a couple other professional archers as well. We've been graced by Kaylee Johnston, Emily McCarthy, Sharon Wallace, and they've all shared, you know, how they do it as well. And then also equipment and things that work for people. So
what is your style? I got to ask, how do you judge
my style? Well, I use a lot of factors, I'm not going to lie. But my number one thing is, I actually go in 5 yard increments when I use the ground, and a lot of people will use 20 or 30 yard increments, but I started judging yardage at a very young age, and that's what works for me personally. And then, you know, there's a lot of other elements that I look into the equation of, you know, where am I going to aim on the target? What's trying to trick me in this scenario? You know, is it a big tree behind the target? Is it a tunnel? Are we in bright light? You know, all those things that go into that. So,
yeah. Yeah, I just in spending 2 years now out there on the range, I've learned some things, like apparently low light causes people to hit low for whatever reason. I don't know if it's aiming or everybody hits low. And something else that I found interesting was, and you can tell me if you do this, but some of the pros use like the first couple of targets to figure out what you're doing. Are you tending to be high or low? You know, what's happening with your shot? Is that something you do as well as you start around?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. And I mean, I that's probably, I mean, obviously, in our class, if I come up to a target, I'm the fourth shooter and three people have hit it an eight high, I mean, obviously go to school at that point.
Right.
But I mean, at that, if I paid attention to what everybody else was doing, I wouldn't be paying attention to what Kara was doing. So, you know, there's kind of a fine line there of, you know, paying attention. And I think in the unknown game, it's critical to not get caught up in necessarily where arrow holes are. You know, a lot of times, you know, we tend to do that and we think, oh, we're the first ones that shot these targets. Well, most likely not. So, you know, I think it's important to pay attention to that kind of stuff and to a certain extent, but you can really get ran away with it. So it's important to pay attention to your game and stay focused on that. At least that's what I found for myself personally.
So with the judge on, do you have any more this fall or are we now into next year?
So we do not have any more planned for this year. We had originally planned on having one in Alabama in a few weeks. However, the timing was not good because we picked the same weekend as the Alabama football game.
Oh.
Yeah, Alabama-Auburn football game, which is basically yes. like a holiday
that
down
is,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of other factors played into our decision to move that. So a lot of the people that had signed up for that, we were able to move to our other locations this year. But with the cancellation of ATA happening in January, we are looking at hosting a seminar at the beginning of the year. And we are looking around the Coleman, Alabama area as being that host location. So
that can be kind of a primer for Foley, which is
exactly,
in February. Yeah,
exactly. So we figured the timing would be really good with everybody, you know, getting ready, getting those 3D setups going. We figured it'd be a really good time of year to do that. And with ATA being canceled, why not? So I think you're going to see an announcement here in the next couple weeks as to the beginning of January and a Judge On seminar in the Coleman, Alabama area.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the people that you're seeing come to these events, are you seeing, you know, folks who have never shot a 3D, or are they mainly established 3D archers, you know, amateurs who've been shooting a lot? Mm-hmm. Who's coming?
I would say the majority are established 3D archers. There are a lot of them are people that have dabbled in the unknown game and then went known
okay.
and are ready to come back. And a lot of them, as exciting as this is, are young girls. And
nice.
A lot of them are both, you know, like husbands, girlfriends, wives, husband, you know, it's fantastic to see the differentiation. Each one of our classes have been half women, half men. And of those, there've been probably a handful of young girls in that mix. So it's extremely exciting for me personally. And I know Jack too. And we're up there and we've said a couple times, it is like, I wish I could be in your seat when I was coming up through the ranks and getting this information, because
yes.
it took me years to figure this out. Like it took me years and we're up here spewing our guts out to you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the feedback that we've really gotten from it is, people talked about like the course management tips being huge, the honesty and transparency of the pro archers. They've talked about how very interactive and learning those pro tips. And I'm just kind of reading through a few of the, you know, comments right now to you guys, the hands-on judging and walking the range, because we also include range time in this, which I think is huge.
For sure.
So we start with classroom, we have an awesome lunch, and then we roll out into range time. And in Georgia, we had the worst case scenario happen and we had weather come into play. So we kind of rolled with our plan B, but still we're able to get people out on the range for about an hour and a half to see scenarios of things that we had talked about in the actual class. And in Ohio, we were able to get out and actually fire some arrows and have some range time. And I think our overall feedback is that that's huge. So yeah. So it's nice that we're able to kind of mix both. When Jack kind of came to me with the idea and I was like, wow, let's do this, I really, really wanted it to be interactive. Like, I really wanted people to feel like they had left with a lot of tips and knowledge. And that's the feedback we've been getting. So I feel like we've luckily, I think we've really helped these people, and we've had about 60 attendees total so far in both seminars. And the feedback we've gotten has been great, and I'm thrilled. I'm sure you can tell in my voice.
Well,
I'm absolutely thrilled.
Well, it just sounds great, because I know I got concerned last year. We were going to do a feature. We do a feature on amateurs every Sunday with Cam, and we wanted to catch up with some women who shoot in women's open B. And what we found out is there was only three of them. There were only three women in that division. And it hit me. It's just like, wait a minute, that's the pipeline to women's open pro.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, boy, you know, you see the known divisions, which
makes
that's
cringe,
fine.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But the known doesn't end up in pro.
No, luckily what's happened is the restructuring of the classes, and women's open A and open B are now one class, which is an unknown 45-yard max now. And that's going to be great, because I think a lot of people are going to join together in that class. So you're not going to have such separation between the two. And what we've heard already and some of the feedback we've received from the women is that there's going to be quite a good number of women in that class.
Nice.
So we're pretty excited about that. Some women moving over from known 45, known 40. So that's pretty great. And then what we've also received because of these judge on classes is some women reaching out to us that are actually going to be going pro next year. We've got a good little handful of women that are going to be coming up and joining us. So that's exciting as well. And some of those individuals have been able to join us in these seminars. So it's been pretty great to see their, you know, their excitement. And I was talking to a girl in Ohio. She's like, my plan is to shoot the open 45 class unknown this year, and I want to go pro next year. And I was like, fantastic. That's what
yes.
we want to hear. You know, like she's like, that's why I'm here. And I was like, I love it. Perfect. Great. So that's what we want to see. And I know you can hear it in my voice. I'm pumped. I'm so glad that we did this, and that we're able to really be making a difference for people to really help their game and build their confidence and know that judging yardage isn't a scary thing.
Well, right. Yeah. And like I said, you know, we like to see, you know, hey, known, great. That's awesome. We'd love to see that. No problems with that. But there isn't currently a women's pro known division. So if we want to see the women's pro ranks, it has to be in the unknown currently. So we just like to see more people get involved in. And actually, when you go down to some of the especially the younger divisions, I mean, there's a lot of young girls out there shooting, which is just, that's just great to see anyway, just seeing them all out there shooting their bows. So, yeah, I mean, there definitely is a crop that could move up and one day be out there competing on the pro line, which, hey, the more we can see of that, that'd be great.
I completely agree. I remember being that young girl, and I dreamt of being the one up there holding a Happy Gilmore check. So it's pretty awesome to me every year when I see, you know, those smiling faces come out and shoot that pro range and get to know us. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Warms my heart, really.
Do you think I'm going to do a shameless plug here a little bit? Sorry about that. But yesterday we announced at CAM that we're going to be broadcasting the pro shoot downs for the ASA on the Sportsman's Channel next season. So that opens up, that's a bigger audience. I think there's 28 million households. How do you see that playing in? Do you see, one of the reasons we wanted to do that was where we're airing it now is great, but we're basically capturing an audience that's already involved in archery versus going to a Sportsman's Channel. There's kind of a bigger group out there who maybe they aren't involved in archery, but have an interest in the outdoors, obviously. So what we're kind of hoping is maybe some people see it and say, hey, I want to try that. In your coming up, would that have been a factor for you? I mean, you were going to do it anyway.
Heck yeah. But no, I'm so excited about this. Kudos to every single person that had a hat involved in this. Like, I can't even see this. Is huge for our sport. This is what we have needed for years. I mean, I feel like, you know, back in the 90s, there was stuff like this happening. And then, you know, it kind of died off. And I mean, I was shooting at this level in the early, you know, late 90s. And it's so exciting to see this. And it's going to be huge for our sport because now, you know, Sportsman's Channel's on and how many shops across the country.
Right.
And those hunters are going to have an opportunity to see another side of the sport that they might not have known even exist. And it goes as far as saying people just having their, you know, their TV on watching the channel, you know, because that happens a lot. You know, it's a huge channel. It's a huge audience that's connected to the sport that I think not only is going to help grow this sport, but also show them, you know, I can get ready for hunting, you know, and to bring all this work that these professional archers are doing to light. I mean, I've said for a year, bowling's on TV and archery's not, you know,
cornhole.
No, cornhole.
I watch like, cornhole.
No offense to the bowlers or the cornhole diehard fans out there, but archery is awesome, and I'm super excited for it. I'm stoked. And I'm sure 90%, maybe 99% of the pro archers are. And I really cannot put into words how excited I am to see this happen for our sport. And it's going to be huge. It really is. And I know it'll be on in our shop.
We're hoping.
Saturday afternoon. So it's really great. It's fantastic.
Well, yeah, we certainly hope to see some new people come in. I just remember when I got my first bow and then, you know, I liked bow hunting, but I also thought, I like shooting my bow. When I go out bow hunting, I shoot it one time. But then I discovered leagues and thought, oh, man, I can shoot my bow in winter when I can't do anything else. This is great.
Exactly. And we have a lot of people that are exactly like that, that come into the shop and shoot leagues. And, you know, they are like, what? 3D archery? Like, you know, and a lot of times they're hearing about it for the first time. So it's great that this is happening for our sport. And it's been years coming, and thank you to CAM and Competition Archery Media and Lancaster and ASA and everybody for really getting behind this. Everything you guys have done from a production standpoint has been spot on, and it's really helped grow in our sport, I feel like. And it's exciting to see it.
We certainly appreciate more. That. Yeah. And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about, so the Judge On, that is run through an organization that actually, I don't even know if you founded it or helped found it, but Archer, I know that that's your thing. Tell us about what Archer is and where it came from.
Yeah. So Archer started back in 2015. So we've been around now for 5 years, and really our whole mission, purpose, vision was to help promote women in the sport of archery. You know, we kind of felt like we were just kind of there, you know, and we really wanted to show that we can be a united front, and we can help the professional women, can help uplift the women that are coming up through the ranks, and help give guidance and help put product in women's hands. And, you know, really we do a lot of great giveaways, and, you know, we do a lot of great tech tips and information, and we have gear, and really we just wanted to get people united, women united, to know that what my husband or my boyfriend says is not the gospel. Like, I can do different things. Like, what works for them might not work for me. And we really wanted to help women, you know, grow in the sport. And I feel like we've accomplished that over the last 5 years, and there's a lot more that we want to do. I had two babies, so that kind of slowed things down a little. And then Judge On came about, and you know, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, we want to do more, and you're going to see more from us, I believe, and it's exciting. So
it is pretty impressive when you go to an ASA, IBO, whatever. You would think that it would be really heavily skewed towards guys. There are more guys than women, but it's not like there's only a handful of women there. There's a lot of women and young girls out there shooting. It's an equal opportunity sport.
Absolutely. And you're seeing a lot more families, I think, too. And, you know, it's huge. Some of the feedback we got from Mike when we first started Archer was we actually did pro-ams, all women, a whole range full of women. And that was awesome, because a lot of times when you're in those pro-am type situations and you're practicing together, the women feel intimidated by
that. Yeah, right.
Hate to say it, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And so we put women pro archers with groups of women, and the feedback was huge and fantastic. It was awesome. And the fact that we had that many women to do that was huge in and of itself. And so it's just opened up the door for women that are getting started in the sport to ask other women, our ambassadors. We have archer ambassadors that are basically like our pro staff that are available to answer questions on the range. They're really like those motivators. They're those people that kind of stand out just because of personality. You know, uh-huh. There's those people that are easy to approach and talk to and ask questions of. And those are the people that we've chosen as ambassadors to be out on the range and available to all those newcomers that have got those questions. And we get it all the time. People coming up to the booth saying, you know, I've got this question. Or we've got women that will send us messages over the Archer platform and we'll feed that out to the professionals and say, what's your opinion on this? And get back to them. So that kind of stuff didn't exist when I was coming up through the ranks, and man, I would have loved it. I'm a little jealous.
I guess I should ask, have you seen a change in equipment over the course of your time to where now there is more equipment that is more fitting of women? I know releases, we've seen more small releases come out. What have you seen over your career?
Oh gosh, you're gonna date me, PJ. How old do you think I am now? I mean, I started shooting in the sport at a very young age. I shot my first local tournament at the age of 5. And that was 1990. So there you go. There's my age. And literally, I mean, I remember shooting a little Bear Jennings, Micro Jennings that, you know, poundage wise, the performance of the equipment has allowed women to be more successful over the years. We are seeing that in the scores that are being shot by women now. Even on an indoor perspective, you've got women cleaning rounds where that never happened before. It's because the equipment has come so far. You're seeing the scores that are being shot by us, the 3D women out on these ranges. Those scores would have never existed if it wasn't for the equipment that fits us, the lighter stabilizers, the smaller releases for our hands, the performance element out of the bow is from a speed factor where you don't have to shoot 60 pounds and get the performance out of a bow. So, and get the speed, you know, that's the big thing. Lighter arrows now made by manufacturers that actually are durable.
Yeah.
That stuff didn't exist when I was coming up. You know, if I wanted that, I had to shoot a small diameter, you know, a little ACE or a nano, you know, that's what I had to shoot. Now I can shoot a 23 diameter arrow. When I was in youth or FBO, that wasn't an option. You know, like they were so dang heavy. You didn't have that element. So it's come a long, long, long way. And it's, I think, credited to the technology and, you know, all the way across the board. So it plays into the women for sure.
So not this past season, but 2019, it was at, what was that, Metropolis. You had some crazy score. What was that? I believe that was your best round ever. What was that score?
34 up.
34 up. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was a pretty great day, I'm not going to lie. I shot 26 up in one day. 34 up for the weekend. And I still remember every target like it was yesterday. I'm not even going to lie. I still remember aiming on those targets and watching the shot break and 12. You know, I will never, ever, ever forget that round or the people I was with. It was a fantastic day all the way around. And it was insane. And so we talk about that type of stuff in the judge on class. We talk about how to handle a round mentally. We talk about bow setup. We talk about, you know, drops and knowing your bow and how to play the game. And, you know, if I didn't know my bow to a T, I wouldn't be out there shooting scores like that. So, you know, we talk about all those types of things and really put it into play. And it's been really awesome. And like I said, I love to give back to the sport. If I always say, I just want to leave it better than I found it. So hopefully Judge On helps, you know, these people. And from the feedback we've received, everybody has said they'd recommend it to others. So it's pretty exciting.
On a day like that, 26 up, are you like getting a couple targets in and are you just like, I'm hitting them today, so I'm aiming at everything? Or what's happening mentally?
It's funny you bring that up, because the day before I shot 8 up, and I really should have been 12 up and tied for the lead with Kaylee. And Kaylee was 12 up. And I left the range. I had shot 2 8s on my last 4 targets. And I had left the range and I was fuming. And I usually don't get mad. Like, I usually don't get mad like that at myself. But man, was I mad. And I called my husband on the walk out, and I was walking out with Renee, which was totally not like me. Like, usually I'd wait to the car to have my vent session. And I just, like, I'm so mad. Like, I'm so mad. I just left it out there and I've been working so hard. And why did I do, like, I'm so mad. I'm going out there tomorrow and I'm putting it all out there. And those were my exact words to him. And he was like, okay, babe. Okay. You do that. And he was busy in the shop. So he was like, I'll call you later. But you know, it was, and I left it right then and there. Like, I had to get it off my chest, and I went back, had a nice dinner, relaxed the rest of the night. Didn't even think about my round. Didn't think I need to go out and shoot, you know, 12, 15, 12s. I never thought that, you know, I never thought that. I got up the next morning and I was like, you're making good shots. You're breaking good on the bales. Like, go out and have fun. And, you know, I just, the second target, I was put in a position for shooter that I needed to hit a 12 because Kaylee hit it. And I was like, and it was kind of, everything was kind of bombarded, you know, like everything was kind of taken up. And I was like, well, I'm aiming right at it. And either I'm going to get it or I'm not. This is literally my 22nd target of the tournament. So I've still got 18 left. You know, if I miss it, oh, well, just go, you know, go from there. And I hit it. And it just gave me all this confidence in the world. And I went to the next one, which was a long turkey, and I hit it.
Long turkey will always give me confidence. I don't care where
exactly,
it is.
But that's exactly.
That's the target.
And I was the third shooter, and they were all kind of around the 12, and I hit it. And I went to the next target, and I think I hit it, and I just missed the next one, and then I hit the next one, and I was like, okay, it's go time. And at that point, I had tied Kaylee. You know, we were kind of hitting them back to back to back, and I just kept rolling. At that point, I had so much confidence in my numbers and how I was breaking shots and where I was sitting. Like, I was like, go. And I never stopped to think, oh, man, you just tied the record. Oh, man, you're in the lead. Oh, you know, I never stopped to think that. It was just like, go. Aim at every one of them.
That's awesome.
And power. And I just, looking back on it, it was one of those rounds I will never, ever, ever forget. Probably out of my entire 3D career. That was it. And that was managing the course, being smart, playing the game, and having confidence in the numbers that I was setting. And if you don't have confidence in this game, you might as well, if you're defeating yourself before you even walk out there, you know,
yeah,
you've got issues. So,
well, we have a video. I don't know if you remember it, but one of our guys caught you just as you came off that range. And I think you ran into Renee Hornbuckle. I think it was Renee. Mm-hmm. And it was just great. Just this huge emotional outburst. You know, you could see that how much this meant to you, and yeah, also how unusual it was, because it caused you to have this reaction. And right, that was just great to see, to watch that.
Well, it was pretty cool because Renee was there, who was one of my best friends, of course. We were shooting the range together, and I turned around, Caitlin Price, who helped founded Archer with me. She was standing right there, and we've been friends since we were 11, 12 years old. And then another girl from Michigan, Hannah Schneider, who I grew up shooting with, literally Cub class, Michigan, like 5 years old, first local tournaments. She went to school with my cousins. She was there. Like, so it was just like this emotional, like, what just happened? What just occurred? Let's celebrate this moment because it might never happen again. You know, like, what just happened? You know, so it was just so cool that, you know, those three people could be there. And it was awesome. It was just I had a complete meltdown because I was like, what did I just do? And that's when it hit. Like, what just happened? You know, like, it meant a lot more to me than just setting a record, you know, for single day and for, you know, I would say I never had that goal. My goal always is to manage the tournament the best I can and come out on top. And But having that is just pretty awesome. Like, it's just years of hard work.
Well, so. on the mental side, how do you, in a day like, on a day like that, when you're just killing it, I mean, I guess if you don't think about it, you're just going to keep cruising like that. But how do you keep the doubt from coming in, from saying, don't wreck it, don't wreck it?
I'm telling you, it's so, this sport is so mental. So mental. And I've read a lot of books over the years, and I continue to read a book. And I mentioned this in the Judge On class as well, is the With Winning in Mind. And I learned a long time ago, I could go back to the years, gosh, it was probably, oh, it was probably right around about 2014. And I remember being at the Classic and being on the final day, and Kaylee and I were battling it out yet again. And I remember thinking, you just took the lead. And I was like, had five targets left. And I got that like jittery, hey, sensation, you know, like, what is happening? And I thought, you idiot, stop thinking. What are you doing? Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Like, stop thinking. Stop. And I literally went one target at a time. One target at a time. And that's my thing whenever I'm managing a range. Even if I get started and I'm having a train wreck, like in the first five targets, stop. Let it go. Focus. You've got 35 more targets left. Like, I think a lot of times in 3D especially, we get ahead of ourselves. Or even spots, you know, we think, oh, we just shot that arrow out. And then we shoot ourselves in the foot on the rest of our round because we mentally break down. And we mentally start thinking. And if you can turn off the think and focus on the process and your goals, you'll be so successful. And it's easier said than done, that's for sure. But it's easy. We're by nature negative people, right? We walk off a range and we think, we can all tell each other, I screwed up on this. And that's what you hear everybody talking about, right?
Yeah.
You don't hear people coming off the range saying, I 12 that 50-yard Wolverine. You don't hear people saying that, right? You hear people saying, I five that turkey. I five that gator. I five that javelin. You hear that, right? You hear all the negative. Well, if we came off the range and we talked about the positive things of our round, very rarely do you hear anybody ever say, you know what? I killed it today.
Yeah, yeah.
I smoked it. Even though I shot 10 down, I rocked it. You know, you don't hear that. You know what I mean? So I think if people were more positive in their belief of themselves and have more confidence in their game and let go of what happened and focus on what's coming, we'd all be a lot more successful. So that's what I try to do, especially after that first day at the Classic last year. Like, I was mad. I was upset. But the minute I had my vent session, I let it go and I focused on the future and didn't overanalyze what was about to come. And did I know I was going to shoot the highest round? Heck no. No, I didn't. But I embraced it when it happened. That's for sure.
So I'm very much an amateur on, and I just keep digging the hole, because once I miss, then my next target is, oh, I missed that last one. I have to hit this one, which usually makes it worse.
So much
and
more
then
pressure on
I
yourself.
Have to hit.
That's
makes it worse.
That's
but it's funny.
Feeling.
We have interviewed pros after rounds, you know, who had killer rounds. And it is funny because they say, oh, man, you know, I left a couple points out there that I should have had, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then people comment and, oh, you know, that's kind of disrespectful. But it's funny. I mean, you laid it out there. It's not that you're downplaying what you did. That's what sticks in your head, what you didn't
it
do.
Is. Yeah, it's what you left out there and what you didn't take advantage of. That sticks in your head. And for me personally, when I'm at a tournament or I'm at an event, I'm not going to think about that. It's done. It's over with. It's gone. I'm going to think about that when I get home. And what can I work on when I get home? There's times that I'm driving home from an event and you could fry an egg on my forehead because I gave away this, 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 and this, right? But that's after I've already been done. You know, I'm done. I'm in the car. I'm making notes of what I'm going to go home and what I'm going to work on. I'm not doing that while I'm in the event, right? Because it's done. It's over with. I need to stay focused on what's in front of me, on the future and the present, not the past.
Gotcha. Well, I know that I can describe with much greater detail every deer I have ever missed compared to anyone I've ever hit. I see those, boy. They burn in my brain, those ones that got away.
Yeah, it made you mad, didn't it?
Well, one thing that I know I personally wanted to ask you, I'm hoping that the listeners appreciate this as well, but this year I've been dealing with vision, and I know you wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to get a clear sight picture? What's in your lens, your peep? How do you coordinate all your lenses?
Well, that's a dang good question, PJ, because I'm actually playing, because I think we all play with this, and our vision constantly changes. And women, hormones, babies, mine changed. I mean, when I was pregnant with our first child, I could see like I've never seen before. It was like my vision went crystal clear. And then I got pregnant with my second child, and I couldn't see diddly squat. It actually made things worse. Yes. Yeah, like my vision actually, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant again. I could see. No, it was horrible. And so I struggled with that. That's really what I struggled with this year, to be perfectly honest with, was I had the baby in March, and my hormones and my vision completely changed. And trying to get the right prescription has been nothing short of a complete nightmare. And I know we've all been there. I actually went to Coleman with a script that was overcorrecting my vision. So everything was kind of like, ooh, that looks a little weird, you know, like, and so it takes time to really find the right mix. And then indoors, you know, I've played with different clarifiers, different lenses. The biggest thing I can say is find an eye doctor that gets it. Like, I know how, you know, I've bounced things off of Chuck Cooley quite often.
Right.
Because he's amazing and he gets it, right?
Yeah.
He's an eye doctor and a professional archer, so he gets it. And so he's helped me a lot. I've been trying out contacts. Finally got some that work fantastic. So hopefully I can shoot in contacts this coming year is my goal. So now it's back to the drawing board, right? I've got to play with clarifiers. I've got to play with size of clarifiers. I have to play with different size lenses. So my off season is going to be spent doing a lot of that and figuring out what's going to work best with this new vision combination that I have going on. So it's, I feel like I'm kind of starting from scratch, like most always feel like, and it's difficult, right? It's not easy.
You're trying to get, obviously, the target to be as clear as it can be, and your pin, I'm guessing, to be
correct.
Get rid of that starburst or
correct
any double.
And what I dealt with this year was my pin would be starburst, and then my sight picture would be cloudy. Like what I was seeing on the target would be cloudy, and I wasn't realizing what was breaking down just because both kind of sucked. So,
right.
You know, and that was the wrong prescription, you know, and I didn't even know, you don't know when you're used to not seeing properly. Like when I first got glasses, I was judging yardage based on how blurry things were.
Exactly.
And my brain knew that.
Right.
My brain knew that. And when I first got glasses, I remember like putting on my glasses and going out in the yard, and I was shooting everything like 5-6 yards under. Like missing targets because there's no way they're that far. They look like they're on top of me because I was judging everything without glasses on based on the blurriness. My brain had calculated that.
How about that?
So a lot of it's like reprogramming your brain and your eyes and judging. And a lot of, you know, like we talk about in the Judge On seminar is training your brain to see certain distances. And a lot of it's going back to that. So when you get a new prescription and you get all that going on, you really need to retrain your eyes if you're judging yardage to be able to see those distances again. So it's critical. And I think a lot of people struggle with understanding that if you haven't been through it.
Well, so this year I never could get a clarifier to work. So all I could do was shrink the aperture. That was the only thing that cleared anything up. Then you get into some of those dark woods and that didn't really work out.
Nope.
And the guys from Specialty said, hey, have you ever tried shooting without your glasses and putting a clarifier in. I said, oh, no, because I need my glasses for distance. Mm-hmm. But I did that, and I was like, holy cow, I can see the target. I can see what I'm aiming at. You know, I had to put them on
and
to judge. But
you know, like we talk about, so my issue is I'm nearsighted, so I can't see far, right?
Same.
So
that's me.
That's, and they credit that, and it's mostly my right eye. They say over the years I've shot my right eye out, you know, which I guess makes sense. But so with that being said, like what Chuck told me, you only have to shoot 50 yards, right? Why are you trying to make everything clear on your general vision up to 100, 200, 500 as far as you can see, right?
Uh-huh.
So it kind of brought things into perspective, especially with my contacts, of, oh, yeah, well, duh, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you want everything to be so crystal clear. It kind of brought things back into perspective for me in terms of what are you actually trying to see when you shoot and what's going to be the best route to go. So I'm really looking forward to shooting contacts. One, because no glare, and you take away the elements of rain and all the other junk that goes into glasses. So I've always shot a yellow clarifier, which is a one power specialty with a three power lens, which basically dumbs it down to a two. That's what I've always shot.
No kidding.
People are like, for real?
50 yards. Yeah. You're shooting a two power lens. Wow.
Yeah, but that's what I'm used to. That's what I'm used to seeing. That's how I'm used to aiming, because that's how I grew up shooting. For me, shooting a five or six power is like, holy Moses. You know, like I feel like I'm on top of it, and I lose that comfort in my aiming process, if that makes sense.
What size is your pin with that setup?
10,000.
It is a 10.
Okay. As dim as I can get it.
Gotcha.
Yep. And we talk about pin brightness and pin differences, and we talk to all these different pros in the Judge On seminar, and we talk about, you know, aiming, because that's a huge part of the 3D game, right? Is aiming process. And so we talk about that, and you'd be surprised the number that are shooting a 19,000 or shooting a five or six power lens. And here I am over here. Nope. You know, but it's, and you know, some of the girls are shooting 60, 55 pounds. And I'm like, yeah, about 52, 53, you know? So it's just funny to hear the differences between, you know, some of us pro women, and knowing that there is no cookie cutter answer. You know, there's
exactly
flexibility in what works for you. Feel free to try it, you
right.
know? So
what is your draw length?
I'm a 27 and a quarter inch draw length.
Okay.
I got a long arms.
And as you mentioned, you're pulling 52 pounds. So what kind of speed are you getting? Are you getting
284,
the
285.
Okay.
Yeah. So we shoot an ASA. Our speed limit is 280 plus 3%. So 288. And the guys have that benefit of they get 290. Yeah. So they're up in the 290s shooting, and we're in the 280 shooting. It's just great. I'm jealous. Can you tell? I'm a little jealous.
And that's there, like you mentioned, the women's open A and B are going to be 45 mm-hmm. yard max. I mean, there's a lot. You wouldn't think 45 to 50 is that big of a difference, but when you're dealing with that speed, it is a big difference.
It is. It is. And these bows that are now coming out, you know, like you've got the new TRX-34, you know, there's women that can shoot that's a 24 inch draw length. You know, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. So now there's bows being made for the short draw woman that didn't exist. And now they can get the speed out of that because of the type of arrows they go with. And you don't have to shoot a big 26, 27 diameter arrow, 23 diameter arrow, ladies. You can shoot a smaller diameter arrow and get that speed. Speed is critical. I'd much rather be shooting 284 with a skinny arrow, like a little tiny, you know, ACE or X Impact or any, then shooting 260 with a 23 diameter. You know, you gotta take sight tape into account and how that arrow is going to drop at farther distances. That's critical. I shot ASA for years with skinny arrows, and these ASA veteran women would walk up to me and say, "What on earth are you doing? Why are you shooting this? Have you seen my sight tape? Have you seen how this helps me? At 50 yards, I'm carrying better." You know what I mean? Like, I'm not dropping as fast, and my sight tape is tighter from that 40 to 50 mark. You know, so it's things like that.
A 2 yard misjudge isn't as painful.
Critical. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Based on pin placement, it's not as painful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited to see that Matthews TRX 34 because I was thinking of, you know, for some women or kids or whatever, a 36, 38, even especially a 40-inch boat, that's a big thing to be carrying around and trying to balance and shoot. 34-inch, yes. I mean, that's awesome.
It's huge. It's huge for women as a whole, because if you've ever looked at a woman's face is not like a man's face. Our distance from our anchor point to our line of sight, our eyes, is much smaller than that of a man's. Everything's kind of more, you know, crunched in. And having a shorter axle-axle bow is more benefits women with anchor point and sight picture and that peep ratio. It's huge. It's huge. And I found that, you know, I've shot, heck, 32-inch axle-axle bows indoors, and people look at me like I'm crazy. But for me, that works better for me for that peep angle and for me finding my anchor point consistently. So you will never probably see me shoot a bow that's over 34 inches axle-axle for that reason. For that, it just doesn't work for me personally. So, I mean, I'm sure that's the case for a lot of women.
Cara, so the Judge On seminars, where can people find out more information about how to sign up for that?
Great question. So we do a lot of our communication over social media. So Facebook, Women Archers, Instagram, archer.2020. And then we also have our website, which we've been doing all the registration through, which is womenarchers.com.
Womenarchers.com. Okay. And then that, I'm guessing they can go there then as you update and add seminars, et cetera,
yes.
You'll publicize them there.
Yes. And we will be putting out a survey here probably in the next few weeks to get an idea for 2021. Everybody's excited to say 2021, right?
Yes.
To basically say, hey, where would you be interested in having seminars in 2021, and kind of get some feedback from people, because we've already been receiving some.
Yeah.
And that way we can bring more great seminars, hopefully to a location near you next year.
Perfect. Well, all right, folks, that was another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Cara Kelly, we certainly appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. You guys are the best.
And we should let people know, for folks who want to know about what Cara Kelly herself is doing, where can they follow you on social media?
So I have an athlete page, Cara Kelly Archer On. I also have a personal page, and then Instagram as well.
Great. All right, folks, thank you for joining us for an episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. Don't forget to go back through our library. We have lots of episodes there. You can find our podcast on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks for joining us today.